In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. I'm glad to be with you today. Yesterday we were looking at Luke 1, and I'm going to go over Luke 1. Remember that Zechariah is a priest, and he was offering incense at the altar, remember? And what happened is that an angel of the Lord came unto him and said, "Fear not, Zechariah, for your prayer is heard." What prayer? The prayer for a child, the prayer to be pregnant, the prayer for a son. And yet they stop praying because Elizabeth has gone through the change of life. Your prayer has been heard. I told you that prayer has a life of its own. And Zechariah, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and you shall call his name Giovanni. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall receive at his birth this joy and gladness. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall be turned to the Lord their God because of him. Now, I want you to know that it's been many years, hundreds of years, since the Lord has spoken. And this is the first thing that he talks about after 100 or 200 years, that John the Baptist will be born and that he will bring his family gladness. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. I want to say this again, that the father's heart should be turned to his children, that the father is the important person in the family. The father is the head of the family. The mother is the heart of the family. I tell you, spend time with your daughters, fathers, because I see out on the beach these young girls with these older men, and what they're looking for is a father, because they never had a father. Oh yes, he was there, but he was just not there, if you know what I mean. He was there in body, but he wasn't there in the experience of being daddy, being father. I'm telling you, it is very important that fathers spend time with their daughters and that fathers spend time with their sons. It is very important. The father is the head of the family and the mother is the heart. So many times we just have a heart without a head. And you know what? That is always missing in the people's lives, especially girls, especially girls. I see them sitting on the wall at Winthrop Beach, and I see them with older men, and I'm saying, they're not looking for that kind of love. They're looking for daddy. They're looking for daddy. And you know what? Daddy is absent. Daddy was absent, if not in reality, he was absent in spirit. He didn't give to his daughters and his sons his time and his love and his, you know, it's just sad. It's just sad. And Zechariah said unto the angel, "Whereby shall I know this?" How am I going to know this, that I am an old man and my wife well stricken in years? In other words, she's gone through the change of life. And the angel answered and said unto him, "I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak unto you and to show you these glad tidings. And behold, you're going to be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because you did not believe my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season." Can I tell you this? That God's word will be fulfilled in the season of the Lord. He has his own season, and you might have received the word of God through a prophet or by the scriptures, and you know that God has spoken to you, and I tell you, it shall be fulfilled in its season. In its season, God knows when to fulfill it. You know what I'm saying? He knows when to fulfill it. I was told that I would raise the dead in my 60s. Well, you know what? I'm 66, and I still haven't raised the dead. Spiritually, by the grace of God. Spiritually, by the grace of God, but not physically at this point. But you know what? If that was the word of God, I will do that in its season. When God speaks to us, he speaks in eternity. And when he speaks in eternity, we kind of think it's going to happen right now. Sometimes it does. Sometimes it does. Sometimes it's not happening right now, that you have to wait for it. Wait patiently. Wait patiently, believing God that his word will not return void. Believing God that God knows best. The Father knows best, you know. That used to be a television sitcom. Father knows best. I'm telling you, fathers have been given a rotten name. They are on television and they look so stupid. And there's an anti-father experience on TV. I told you yesterday about the woman that's advertising alarms, and she's talking about how the alarm works and it's good, and now they have peace, and the husband is there and doesn't say a word, like the number in the Italian, la mamma Luca. You know what I'm saying? It's not translatable. It's just, you know, this is the man who's just sitting by while the woman is taking complete charge of everything. And I tell you, that's not right. That's not right. And I hate seeing men being deposed. I'm going to tell you, the women's movement hate men. The women's movement, you know, hate men. They hate men. And yet they have in their favor a woman who bore the Son of God. His name is Jesus, and she is Mary. And I'm telling you, the women's movement hate men. They just hate men because men have been in control in the church. And I'm telling you this, control has nothing to do with service. Control has nothing to do with responding to God. Men have been used, and women have been used by God. I've said it so often that the phenomena of the Catholic Church in America is not a man thing. It's the women, like Mother Seton, she and Mother Cabrini and Catherine Drexel. These holy women of God established faith by preaching the word of God and by building hospitals and helping women that were far gone. Mother Cabrini cared for the people in jail. Mother Cabrini cared for the women who were pregnant. I'm telling you, women have a key position in the United States, and it's not becoming men. A woman doesn't want to become a man. A woman wants to be a woman. And that's what she's been called to be. She's the heart of the diocese. That's real. But you see, when we have these women fighting to take power, you know, it's all about power. I tell you, the only power I have as a priest is the power to celebrate the Eucharist and the sacraments. But I have power given by God and the church. But what happens when I leave the altar? Do I not have power? No, I have power to pray. I just heard today that I prayed with somebody's hips, and their hips were healed, and they were able to walk. And, you know, I didn't know that. I prayed with the person, and I didn't know that. I found that out today. The power doesn't stop at the altar. And I'm going to tell you, women like Sister Miriam put people to shame, put men to shame. Women like Sister Ed or Vincentine put men to shame. They do, because they are prayer warriors, and they have touched people that men have never touched. And I always thought the whole thing was, let's get the gospel out to both men, women, and children. But you know what? When you have a women's movement, they want to be men, and they despise men. And that's kind of pathetic. That's kind of pathetic to despise men, because God established his way through men and women. Through men and women. Thank God for Mother Cabrini. Thank God for Catherine Drexel, who cared for the Native Americans. Thank God, thank God, thank God for Mother Seton, who established schools for the poor and who taught them to love Jesus, crucified and raised from the dead. I tell you, it's a woman's experience. And if I were the devil, I would go to the women and say, you've got to get power. That's what it's all about. You want to be a priest. Let me tell you, to be a priest is a vocation, but I'm telling you also to be a holy woman of God is a vocation, and you can do even more than a priest if you have the anointing of God, and that's the favor of God. You could do more than the priest. Oh, you can't celebrate the Eucharist, but you can change the world one at a time if you've got the anointing of God on your life, if you're a prayer warrior. That's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. I respect women religious. I respect them. I respect them. They've been given a raw deal in the church, and that's really true. That is really true. They've been given a raw deal in the church for many years, and some of them are very angry, and they want to be men. I'm telling you, we need to apologize to these women how we didn't give them exactly what they needed, but they were like servants. And no, that's not God's will, and that was not. But you know what? Even though they were servants, they were the ones that offered this stuff up to the Lord, and they were the ones that preached the gospel and brought the faith to the people in the United States. This is real. This is real. I am so happy that people like Sister Ed or Sister Vincentine and Sister Miriam and people in Rhode Island, I'm so happy because they have taken their position as sisters and have brought the gospel to many people. Okay, I continue. Behold, you shall be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zechariah and marveled that he took so long in the temple. They're saying, what's happened to the priest Zechariah? He went to burn incense. Why is he in there so long? And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. You know, here, this is a priest who spoke. This is a priest who offered incense. Now he comes out. It looks like he took a stroke. No stroke. He didn't believe the angel that stood in the place of God, that stood in the presence of God. And he's not going to speak until the child is born. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me, and he took away my reproach among men. When women did not have children, they were considered to be a curse. They were considered to be a curse. I'm telling you this. Women are not a curse. Women, the heart of the church. Now, Luke 1:26. In the sixth month, that's the sixth month of John the Baptist in the womb of Elizabeth, the angel Gabriel was now sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. The virgin was espoused to a man named Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. We know that. And the angel came unto Mary and said, hail, thou art highly favored. Hail, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed are you among women. Oh, yes. We pray that prayer, the Hail Mary. It's the angel's greeting. Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And then we continue, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Isn't that something? That's something. That prayer was given to us in the year, I believe, 350. In the year 350. And when Mary saw the angel, she was troubled. Well, you know what? When you see a big angel filled with the glory of God, you'd say, Mamma Mia. you know, she was troubled. And she was saying, what kind of a salutation is this? What kind of a greeting is this? And the angel said unto Mary, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Isn't that something? She found favor with God. Of all the women in the world, God chose Mary of Nazareth. That was his choice. She is full of grace. She is highly favored. She is the woman of faith. And the angel said to her, fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Hallelujah. The first time the name of Jesus is given, and it's given to Mary, you're going to call him Jesus. The name that I give you from heaven, even before he's conceived. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. Wow, this son, this Jesus is going to be powerful. He's going to reign over the house of David forever. My gosh, to reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. Then Mary said unto the angel, how shall this be, since I am a virgin, since I do not know man? And the angel answered and said unto Mary, the Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the Holy One which shall be born of these shall be called the Son of God. How does anything happen? Only by the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit. How did Jesus get implanted in the womb of Mary? With Mary's yes, let it be done unto me according to thy word, and with the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit. I tell you, preachers need to pray for the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit. So when we speak the word of God, it's like arrows that go into the heart of people. I pray for me right now, and I ask you to pray for me, that the Lord would send his Holy Spirit upon me and overshadow me every single moment of my life, even while I'm sleeping, that I can preach the word of God in season and out of season, when convenient and inconvenient. I want to be overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. I want to be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. I want that my life will count for something. You know, so many people live their lives and they don't have any idea that their life counted for something. I want my life to count, and I want it to count in the process of speaking the word of God and celebrating the Eucharist. You know, it was my intent to become a priest so that I could preach the word of God, that I could preach the word of God as a priest as well as celebrate the Holy Eucharist. But my primary thing was to preach the word of God. And you know what? Paul the VI says the primary vocation of the priest is to preach the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's real. That's real. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How we need to be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit so that we will preach the word of God, so that people will know that you are loved. You are loved. That the Father loves you. This is my beloved Son, not only Jesus, but you, in whom I'm well pleased. This is my beloved daughter, in whom I am well pleased. Oh, just to know biblically is to experience that you are loved. You are loved. You say, I'm a sinner. Well, you know what? Just go to confession and confess them and let the Lord take it out of you and let him wash you with his blood. Let him wash you with his blood. Just admit you're a sinner. But you know what? Don't live in that voice, I'm a sinner. We're all sinners saved by grace. You know what I'm saying? I'm a sinner saved by grace. I don't want to consider that I'm a sinner. I want to consider that I'm saved by grace. And when I sin, I go to confession. It's very important. You know, when we confess our sins, the Word of God says, the Lord puts them as far as the east is from the west. You know, people saying, well, you know, my sins that I did many years ago have a ripple effect. That's true. But I want to be covered with the blood, that even the ripples would be covered with the blood, that Jesus would transform all that I ever did in the past, in the name of Jesus. I want it under the blood of the Lamb, under the blood of the cross. I want my heart under the blood of the cross. Jesus, the scripture says that he puts our sins as far as the east is from the west. And I believe that. I believe that. I believe that. He doesn't say you did this. That's the devil. That's the accuser of the brethren. That's the devil. It says, you'll never get very far because you had 7 abortions. I tell you, you can be forgiven by the blood of Jesus. As I said, Catherine of Siena, when she went to confession, says, I'm going under the blood. I'm going under the blood. Under the blood. And God, when God forgives, God forgets. That's what the Word of God says. As far as the east is from the west, he has placed our sins from us. And the angel said unto Mary, don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You have found grace with God. And behold, you shall conceive in your womb and shall bring forth a son and call his name Jesus. He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David. Hallelujah. Jesus is great. Jesus is the Son of the Most High. Jesus has been given the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom shall have no end. Hallelujah. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Oh, yes, we say those words very glibly, but Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. How? On earth as it is in heaven. How many of us are seeing that reality, that the kingdom is coming, that the will of God be done on earth as it is in heaven? I tell you, the church should be the first fruits of heaven, that people come into the church and they experience the presence of God. Hallelujah. They experience the presence of Jesus. Hallelujah. I tell you, when people come to our church, they say this is a different church, not only because they've got a different pastor, but because there's a presence in this church. Yes, it's the presence of God. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel his mighty power and his grace. Hallelujah. This is real. You want to know why the presence of God is in our church? Because it's a prayer church. Because it is a house of prayer. Jesus said, my house should be called a house of prayer. You have made my house a den of thieves. Listen, the church is the place where the people of God gather sacramentally, and they gather to hear the word of God, and they gather to get healed. Why not? Because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he promised his disciples, you shall lay hands upon the sick, and they shall be healed. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful that the Lord not only gives us doctors? Oh, we should use the best doctors. Go to the best hospitals. But don't stop with the doctors. Get people to pray with you with faith. Faith, faith, faith. Faith in what? Faith in who? Faith in Jesus, and faith in his word, that they shall lay hands upon the sick and they shall be healed. For many years I prayed with the sick, and for many years the Lord kept the healings from me. I was just trying to see if I would continue to pray with people for healing, even when nothing seemed to happen. And that key word is seemed. And you know what Shakespeare says? Seemed, mother, I know not seem. Listen to me. That's what it says in Hamlet. Seems, mother, I know not seem. I tell you, I prayed over dozens and dozens and hundreds and found out only a couple of people were healed. But yet now I'm even hearing 25 years ago when I laid hands upon people, they were healed. I'm hearing it now 25 years later. But you know what? God kept that from me to see if I would continue to pray for people despite nothing seeming to happen. Seems, mother, I know not seems. Then Mary said unto the angel, how can this be, because I am a virgin? I do not know man. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, hallelujah, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow thee, hallelujah. Therefore also the Holy Person to be born shall be called Son of God. And behold, your cousin Elizabeth has conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month of her who was called barren, for nothing is impossible with God. I want to say that again. Nothing is impossible with God. I want to say it under the unction of the Spirit. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. God is all-powerful. God is all-present. Nothing is impossible with God. You say, you have no idea the life I'm living. Nothing is impossible with God. He changed Saul of Tarsus and made him into a saint after Saul killed Christians. I want to tell you, nothing is impossible with God. You are not God's impossible case. Let me just tell you this. If you think you're God's impossible case, that means you think you're God. Because you think that God can't change you. And I tell you, stop being so proud. Stop being so arrogant. I don't care if you've lived in sin for 60 years. The blood of Jesus washes away your sin when you confess your sin. Nothing is impossible with God. Well, let's pray. Father, Father, your word says, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. I turn over my life. I turn over my life with you, to you. I say, I'm sorry for all my sins. I'm sorry for all my sins. Wash me clean in the blood of Jesus. Wash me clean in the blood of Jesus. Give me a new life. Give me a new life. Help me to know that nothing is impossible with God. Help me to know that nothing is impossible with God. And I'm not God's impossible case. And I'm not God's impossible case. I need to hear from you so that we can pay our bills. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. God bless you.
In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching. This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.